And we're back here on Energy Wise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. As always, we welcome Ilya Benesch, our building and energy expert. He'll be taking your questions. Are you ready, Ilya?
Oh, yeah. Let's tear it up.
First question. I've seen that there are now roof shingles that are solar panels. Could those work in Alaska?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I honestly cannot say yet because I think in our climate it's a relatively new thing, although I am looking into it, and hopefully we'll have some answers here sooner than later. When it comes to these types of situations, there's some general rules I'd like to sort of start in on, and that is anything that applies to solar installations is you need a site with good exposure. In this case, a non-shaded portion of the roof, preferably facing south, but east or west might work too. Just depends on how your roof is built and which way the roof pitch is going. I really like the basic concept because the space on the roof is usually wasted in that respect, and the support structure for something like those shingles is already in place. When it comes to Alaska, I don't know. As usual, things perform differently in our extreme climate, so if those shingles are being glued on, one of those questions I have is how does that glue perform in cold temperatures? And, of course, when it snows, you know, we're going to lose probably some time in the swing season. So anybody that's putting on shingles in town or considering it, we'd love to hear from them. We're definitely a research institution, but there's other things that other people might be doing that we're not aware of, and we would love to hear about it.
I have a boiler that heats two zones, one for upstairs and one for downstairs. I usually turn up the thermostat on the downstairs zone as the upstairs area gets plenty warm from just running the downstairs zone. For cost and fuel efficiency, should I keep doing what I'm doing, or would it be better to run both at a lower temperature? Kind of a long question.
Yeah, and oh boy, it's one of those questions with lots of variables. You know, there could be many reasons something works or it doesn't work. And does this house have radiant heat or baseboards? I'm guessing it might be baseboards, and maybe there's enough space, enough lineal foot of baseboard in there to meet the upstairs needs. I'm also guessing that this house probably has a pretty open second floor plan, so as you're getting hot air rising and transporting heat to that upper floor, it's getting into all the different areas where people are getting the feeling that, hey, yeah, this is working and it's warm. The other question I have is, like, is it only warm enough in the swing seasons, fall and spring, or is it warm enough year-round? Is the boiler sized properly? And if there's a wood stove involved, is that there some way that that's contributing? I would say, though, that if the boiler is running continuously on that bottom zone and you're using that to heat the house, I would have it looked at by a professional. If your fuel usage is acceptable and normal, I wouldn't see any reason to use that upstairs zone otherwise.
Next question. I'm looking at buying new windows. There are many different types of gas you can get between the window panes. What's the difference and what's the best?
Well, the two most common options after air are argon gas and krypton gas. The deal with the gases is they're denser. They have a higher resistance essentially to heat flow, so they basically perform a little bit better. But out of those two gases, I think krypton performs slightly better. There's a lot of other variables, space between the panes, how many panes, all that kind of stuff. Last time I checked, krypton was kind of priced out of the market, and so argon is the real typical gas fill you'll find nowadays. And it's very, very common. I can't stress enough, though, that gas fill is really only the part of the big picture. Everything matters when it comes to cold climate window performance, and that is the quality of the seals between the panes of glass, whether the window is a double pane or a triple pane, how the window itself seals inside the frame. You know, the bottom line here is get R value or U value for the window. That will give you a fixed number as to how that window, how well that window insulates. And for our climate here in Fairbanks, you want a window with an R value of at least 4 and a U value of no more than 0.25. This pretty much means you need a triple pane window. You can get either fiberglass or vinyl. Both will do just fine. I think the key there is find a company that stands behind their product and can explain why their window will work well in cold climates.
Besides weatherizing my home and running my heating appliances, are there other ways to make sure my home stays warm in the winter? That's a good question.
Yes, it is. Weatherizing is really a huge one, simply because house in need of attention, you can readily attribute 30% of its energy cost to air leakage and up to 50% in shortcomings in insulation. And we look at some of these older houses built with 2x4 construction 30 years ago, and they can really account for some significant energy losses to air leakage and lack of proper insulation. Keep in mind that a well-insulated, tight house will make the energy you do use go a lot farther. There are also some pretty easily made gains for minimum cost in terms of adding insulation, whether it's more in a roof, more in a crawl space, that kind of thing. So you can get a payback pretty quick on that extra insulation. You don't really hear people say very often, "Darn, I used too much insulation when I built my house." It's usually the other way around. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. But back to crawl spaces, that is one place that people often overlook, is that, you know, one of the laws of thermodynamics says that heat will always go to cold, and if you've got ground temperatures that are significantly colder than the surrounding air, you will have constant heat losses there. And so that's a really, really easy way to make changes, is to make sure that your foundation walls and the floors in your crawl spaces are properly insulated. There's also a couple of other things worth looking into. Make sure that your boiler is cleaned and tuned and operating efficiently, and get a credible professional opinion as to whether your system is sized to meet the needs of the house. And this is something that, you know, in years past especially, fuel prices were cheaper, and it was really common for the plumbers to oversize the boilers. When they're oversized, that doesn't mean they're operating efficiently to meet the needs of the house. It's a bit like driving an oversized SUV when all you need is a subcompact. In a perfect world, the boiler would be sized so that exactly on the coldest day of the year it's running 100% of the time and able to heat the house and meet domestic hot water needs also. And one of the things that really kills boiler efficiency is constant stopping and starting. It's the same idea as driving in stop-and-go traffic as opposed to driving, you know, at a steady rate of speed on the highway. Your gas mileage always goes down with that stop-and-go driving. Another thing I'd look at pretty hard is an HRV system, and especially an older one. If it hasn't been serviced or looked at by a professional, or you don't know its history, I would say make sure to get somebody out there who can check and see that it's balanced and properly sized. If you're overventilating your house, you can certainly add a lot of cost to that too, just through the extra ventilation you're losing, essentially heat through air movement. Also, with those HRV system, in many cases on the older ones, you can add more modern upgraded controls, and some of those options are that you can then only ventilate when you need it. So if everyone's gone during the day, you can program that HRV to shut off during working hours and then come back on when everybody gets home, and that can lead to energy savings because you're not moving all that heated air out of the house when it really doesn't matter. Also, some HRV controls, they can be made to default into a recirculation mode, and if you're heating with wood, this can really help move heated air throughout the house and cut down on people turning up thermostats in individual zones because they feel cold. So in terms of an HRV being kind of a heat redistributor and equalizer, that's another good option.
Carpets give off a lot of chemical gases. Are there safer types of carpets out there?
Well, that's an excellent question, as particularly in winter in Alaska, some people will spend well over 90% of their time indoors. And, you know, we've known for quite a while that there's off-gassing associated with carpets, but especially so here in Fairbanks, is that good indoor air quality is really important. And this is particularly true for people with chemical sensitivities or children. Fortunately, there are a variety of different manufacturers out there now that manufacture products, carpeting-related products, with relatively little off-gassing. One good place to start is an organization called the Carpet and Rug Institute. And you can find them online, just Google Carpet and Rug Institute. And they've got a program called Green Label Plus. They have a program called Green Label Plus. This program screens and independently tests carpets for the presence and concentrations of 13 different hazardous chemicals. They're very thorough, and they don't have a bias. It's not like the guy making the carpet is also testing the carpet. And it's only if the carpet passed this independent testing that it gets this certification. And so if you go online to their website, you can look through all the different brands basically that they've tested, what they're testing for, and it's got a lot of really good information just about how to pick a carpet and what goes into them, and also practical advice on installing them.
Well, thank you very much, Ilya. That's all for this week's edition of Alaska HomeWise. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
If you want to submit a question to Alaska HomeWise, email us at akhomewise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on HomeWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/ces or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at cchrc.org. Save energy. Save money. Become HomeWise.